Tonight we are beginning with the 14th verse of the 23rd chapter of Isaiah. This 23rd chapter is one complete prophecy, but we just didn't have enough time to finish it last time. And this prophecy is about the destruction of Tyre. We believe that it applies to the time in which Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Tyre. And in the 13th verse, he states pretty plainly who it would be that would carry this destruction out. He says, "Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. And he brought it to ruin." So it was the Chaldean who did the destruction of Tyre, and the Chaldean was founded by the Assyrian. And so at the time this prophecy was given, which is some 120 years before it happened, Babylonia or Chaldea didn't even exist. And so it'd be real easy for a person to question and to doubt the veracity of the prophecy, saying why the nation that's supposed to do all this doesn't even exist. What's Isaiah talking about here? He can't even have it based on any valid facts. So he continues now in verse 14. "Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste." Now, ye ships of Tarshish, of course, are those ships on that colony of Tyre that was in Spain. They conducted much commerce with the rest of the world using Tyre as their base of operation and as their center of commercial activity. Well, these ships of Tarshish that depended upon Tyre for their goods and to buy the goods that they brought there, it says, "How are these ships of Tarshish? For your strength is laid waste." That is, Tyre is laid waste. "And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king." Now, this word king here also means kingdom. And the Babylonian kingdom lasted 70 years in its proper sense, dating from the time that Nebuchadnezzar took the children of Israel into captivity until the kingdom was overthrown by the Assyrians. There's a 70-year period. And other prophecies speak of the other nations that were devastated by Babylonia as being in this state for some 70 years. We know the children of Israel were in captivity for 70 years. And so the kingdom here would have to be the kingdom of Babylonia. And it said that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king or one kingdom. That is, Tyre would also be under this domination during this period of the Babylonian kingdom. Now, Tyre wasn't actually under domination or destroyed for 70 years. Their destruction didn't come till some 20 or 30 years after the kingdom of Babylonia had come to its paramount power. But nevertheless, since it was under the domination of Babylonia, the sweeping and figurative statement could be made for 70 years, because that was the period that Babylon did reign and exert authority. Then it says, "After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot." That is, Tyre would be rebuilt. It would come back into prominence again after this 70-year period. And it certainly is true that after Babylon was conquered by the Assyrians, all of their captives were allowed to come back. The Israelites came back. Other nations came back. And Tyre also was allowed to come back, and they were rebuilt. It was rebuilt. And he says, "Shall Tyre sing as a harlot?" That is, she would become as her former self. Now, it's quite common in the Bible for cities to be compared to women and to various kinds of women. A comparison could be made of a pure woman, or even of a virgin. A comparison could also be made to a harlot. We find also in the book of Revelation that the church is compared to a woman in white, whereas the fallen church, the Catholic church, is compared to a harlot. Well, this city of Tyre is compared to a harlot, and he says she shall sing as a harlot. Then in verse 16, still following that same figure now, take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. During her overthrow, Tyre had been forgotten. And the great commerce and the great international dealings that went on with this city had come to a halt. And so now that this city was going to begin its commercial intercourse with the world, he says to take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it's the same as saying to this city, to this city, for her to call her lovers again to her dwellings. Nations would renew their commercial intercourse with Tyre. And, of course, when she did rebuild and get back into business and broadcast and make her commodities and abilities known, is compared here to a harlot who would go about the city playing the harp, singing a sweet melody, and then trying to be remembered again by her former lovers. This new city was rebuilt, of course, after the Babylonian captivity ended. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. So it's just simply describing the same figure that was begun there a couple of verses back. Tyre being depicted as a harlot. After the end of this 70-year period, the Lord allowed Tyre to be rebuilt, and then she shall turn to her hire. You know, when you get right down to it, a merchant only has a service to offer. A merchant's really not producing any goods. He's not adding anything to the economy by his ability to produce. All he has to offer is a service. He takes something that he's acquired from somebody else, and he simply sells it to another party, and his handling of the goods is his hire. And so that's the way that he depicts Tyre here as being. All she has to sell is her services, or her time, you might say. And so she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the nations of the world upon the face of the earth. Now this international commerce, there are probably many factors about it that we don't know or don't even think about, but it involves such a frame of mind and such a probably lack of scruples that this is probably one of the reasons that he is comparing it to the activities of a harlot. But as we read this, it is very striking to the terminology used in Revelation when he's talking about the church that had fallen away. How that she committed fornication with the kings and the nations of the world and of the earth. And so it was with Tyre. Tyre must have been a very prominent and powerful nation, or rather city. Now the 18th verse, he gives us an entirely different view of Tyre. One that I'm not sure that anybody has a very good, true application for. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently, and for durable clothing. And what he's really saying here is that Tyre is going to turn and be an area that is going to be fruitful and productive to the Lord. Her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. That is going to be used for a good and proper purpose. Eventually, not always, but there'd be a time in which that would come about. For her merchandise, it shall not be treasured nor laid up. That is, it wasn't going to be used as it has in the past for the wealth and the benefit of the people who were engaged in this commerce, but it would be used for the benefit of the Lord. For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Now, it might be that this indicated that it would be to pay the cost of the spread of the gospel. Some of the early apostles or disciples might have been supported by this treasure at Tyre. For we do know that there was a church at Tyre. I'd like to look at a couple of scriptures along this line. In Matthew 15:21, we read about Jesus going to this area. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus did visit these two cities of Tyre and Sidon. And whether this part of the prophecy refers to Jesus' visit there or not, it's hard to say, but I rather doubt that is talking about the visit of Jesus there. However, we have in Acts 21, after the church was established, you know, while Jesus was here on the earth, the church had not been established. But in Acts 21, after the church was established, beginning with verse 3 through verse 6, we have an interesting account of the Apostle Paul as he was concluding his third missionary journey, and he came by the city of Tyre. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. Now this is Luke talking when he says we, and Luke is including the company that was with the Apostle Paul, which would include Paul himself. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Now here's the interesting thing. Tyre had a church. Tyre had disciples. And so Luke records it. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, that is, these disciples were miraculously inspired. They didn't have the New Testament written, and the church had to receive its information through miraculous inspiration by the Spirit at that time, who said to Paul that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, Paul was on the way to Jerusalem, and when he got to Jerusalem, he was going to be mobbed and taken captive. He'd have to be rescued by the Roman soldiers from the Jewish mob. And, you know, we have his speech on the steps of the Tower of Antonia as he addressed this mob after his rescue by the soldiers and so on. Well, that's a long story in itself, and Brother Dale is teaching on that when he has an opportunity, and it's very interesting. But the point we're trying to make is that the disciples at Tyre tried to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem, because they knew that there was a calamity awaiting him there. And when we had accomplished those days, verse 5, we departed and went our way, and they brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. Now that's the most that we have said in the New Testament about Tyre. But we do know that there was a church there, there was disciples there. They were disciples who were receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit. Paul and his company, including Luke, dwell with them for 7 days, and then they went out and saw them off on the seashore, and they knelt and prayed before they left. So we don't know how much work Tyre had done, how powerful the church was, how much work it did to spread the gospel or to aid fellow saints in the household of God. But this little 18th verse here certainly is a prophecy along that line some way or another. Now we want to go into the 24th chapter. And this 24th chapter is an altogether different prophecy